So Christmas at St. Monica's was a sight to behold this year. We had, 12, 15,000 folks here for the six masses we had on Christmas Eve and the four liturgies on Christmas morning. And it was really an astounding opportunity for us, I think, a really important opportunity that we get a couple of times during the year to especially welcome people who come irregularly, who come infrequently here to St. Monica's, so that they would also feel that they're a part of our community, they're a part of us, they belong to Christ, and if they belong to Christ, they belong to us. And so it's so important for us, I think, very clearly and intentionally to make sure that we welcome these folks here for those 2 days. And so I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have done that with you, grateful for your support in that, and for your great care and understanding and welcome of those who come to us, especially in that Christmas great holiday season. One of the things that Dan House has done, extraordinary young man, it is amazing to me. We got into this live stream, and I'm not so sure I won't end up in a Vatican jail someday because of it, but the live stream takes our liturgy and brings it out into the world. We had 14,000 hits on that live stream just on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That's amazing. Now, I'm sure they didn't all pay attention to everything, but they at least went in to get some word, to get some little connection with our community of faith. And so I'm only kidding about the jail, by the way, but I'm really grateful for that opportunity and for that blessing to be able to take that word and have people who are in the far-flung corners of this earth who want to connect on that day with this community of faith. And so it was an astounding and precious gift and grace and blessing. And so here we are on Holy Family Sunday. I was thinking, and as I had mentioned on Christmas Day, the importance of a call. And I would say even today might be even more important, that in every family there is some off-putting things going on. It's some families it's much more than just off-putting, but it's not, you know, the Holy Family, when we think of it, we hold up the Holy Family as this great idol and an ideal, but in fact, even there, Mary conceived a child out of wedlock. That's not, and then Joseph went against his whole tradition as a Jew and did not put Mary aside, but literally took her in as betrothed, knowing that she was with child. So why would you think that your family, which have its struggles, why would we be different? If even in the Holy Family, there were those anomalies, there were those things that you know, made struggle and difficulty in people's lives. And so I think on this day, it is a day of healing. I think it's a really good day to at least take some moment. We may not do that, we may not be able to do it because sometimes the wounds are too fresh, but somewhere in that family, there could be someone that we could just call and make some reconnection, some healing. And in fact, the person at the other end may not in any way receive that well. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that we've been steeled, we've been graced, we've been blessed by the Word of God and by the Eucharist today. And so we're part of something. And so we can take that gift, that precious gift, and maybe just to one person today, one little call, that might make some difference as part of your family and as part of your tradition and as part of your love today. Knowing that we're not perfect, knowing that we're in this together and that we're on this journey of faith in a very special way as a community of faith. So this morning, I took the first reading from Sirach. There's some choices this morning. And at the risk of you know, the language is certainly not the language of today. You know, it was written thousands of years ago, and so the father is held up. But in fact, it's about parents. It's about moms and dads. And what it said struck me as a real challenge to try to figure what is it that Sirach was trying to say this morning. He suggests, if you remember, that if a child is attentive to his father, mother, good to them, especially as they grow old, never, never, never letting them alone, that that actually is factitive in the reconciliation, not just of them, but of himself. In other words, if we have sinned in our lives, if we've made mistakes in our lives, if we've damaged something in our lives, some addiction, some sin, some failure, the way we recover from that, Sirach says, Yahweh says, is by being good to our families. That somehow it stores up in us a reconciliation. Now I read that and I tried to think about that, and this is the thought I had. This may not be what Sirach meant at all, but let me just try it out on you. It might very well be that what Sirach is saying today is that we've got to remember whose we are and from whom we've come. Many of you I know are very successful. Not everyone is successful. We're all doing our best. But many are successful. And we might even be more successful than our parents were. Or we might think we're more successful. And the way to realize that it's all gift, the way to realize a humility in our lives, which is really the way God wants us to walk, is to remember that everything comes from that source. We did not come to be who we are on our own. We are who we are because of the people, our family, our friends, our parents. They may not have excelled as we excelled, but they are the source of that. And so what Sirach, I think, is saying to us today is walk humbly. Don't just think you're hot stuff. Realize that you come from people who gave you the foundation out of which you can make your way, your life, your goodness. Now, that's very attractive to me. Because I think all of us, we really do need to live in gratitude. It may not have been perfect, but even sometimes the mistakes of our parents help us ultimately to become who we are. So I hold that up to you today as a beautiful prayer, a beautiful reflection, it seems to me, from Sirach, an ancient author, about what it means to reverence, honor, and to walk in humility, and to love the family from which we come. And here's my last little story of the year, but I'll be back. In an audience, Pope Paul VI told how one day when he was the Archbishop of Milan, he was the Archbishop before he became the Holy Father of our church, and he said he went out on a parish visitation, and during the course of the visitation, he found an old woman living alone. "How are you?" the Archbishop asked. "Not bad," she said. "I have enough food. And I'm not suffering from the cold." And so the Archbishop said, "Then you must be reasonably happy. Things are going well." And she looked at him and said, "No, not at all. They're not going well." And she started to cry. "You see," she said to the Archbishop, my son and my daughter-in-law never, never come to see me. I'm not dying of hunger, and I'm not dying of cold. I'm dying of loneliness." The Pope said that he was haunted by that phrase, "I'm dying of loneliness." And he concluded, food and warmth are never enough of themselves. People need something more. They need our presence, our time, our love. They need to be touched. Did you hear that, folks? They need to be touched to be reassured that they are not forgotten. How many people in this world feel forgotten? Christmas afternoon, I was going up Wilshire Boulevard. I saw so many people walking alone along that street. They're forgotten. My homily would be a lot longer, but this is it. Because I got a call at 2:30 yesterday afternoon just to tell you that I work up right to the very last. And it was from Tamara Martinez Payne. She was the former principal of our high school. Great woman, good friend of mine. And her daddy is dying in San Pedro in a convalescent home. And I'd gone and seen him this summer. I saw him during the football season because I was down there for a Mary Star game and went down and chatted with him. And then I got this call yesterday and she said, could I go down there? So I felt something in my head saying, go now. So I did, got in the car and went down there. And I walked into the room, and there is Rudy. Rudy's been not eating for a couple of days, pretty unconscious, you know. And I have a loud voice, as you know. So I walked into the room, and I said, Rudy! His eyes went up like this. He was awake. I said, Rudy, your family is here. His two daughters were there. His grandchildren were there. One of the daughters' boyfriends were there. Tina, the woman who's been serving him, were there, were taking care of him. And he just kind of stood there for a moment. And I began to anoint him. And then it dawned on me. There must be terrible loneliness at the very last. We die alone. And so I said to the family, put your hand on him. Just put your hand right on his shoulder, on his head. Touch him. So the whole family were around this bed. And they were all touching Rudy. Then I took off the tiniest little piece of the Eucharist, gave the rest to the family, and placed it right inside. And it was the last probably bit of food that Rudy will ever have in his life. And I thought to myself, whoa, that's how I want to go. Indeed, that's how I want to go. So, my brothers and sisters, Holy Family, it's the gift, no question. And it's the struggle, no question. So I'm simply asking today that you might make that little call to someone. If the wound is too fresh, then you can't do it. You know, don't. It's time. But if there is someone you can just touch. And secondly, to remember, not to forget where we've come from, the gratitude for that. We can't live in arrogance. We've got to live in humble walk. We have to live in a humble walk. We must. And ultimately and finally, I believe on this great day, we can't forget those who feel that they are forgotten. I could not imagine anything worse in this world. And so touch them, hold them, and let us continue our prayer for them today.